Okay, best part of the day. Pasukov. Vatrichal Maharois. The Paros ate. Harakos, the Harois, Esheva Haparos, Harishonis, Harbriois. Okay, the Paros that were Rakos. That we learned according to Rashi, we learned this Rakos. Rakos, we learned yesterday, means what? They were forced not to eat. They were prevented from eating. The Harois, they were raw. What was raw? It means they were weak. They were lacking flesh. So these paros ate the first ones. The sheva paros harishnos habriyos. The brios means they were force fed. Let's see what it says in the Targum table here. It says vachlon torta chasichosa. Chasichosa is to withhold. Vlechasachta es bincha es yechitcha mineni. Okay, it means to withhold. Okay, to withhold. They were withhold from food. Uvishosa. The animals that were withholding food and the ones that were evil, they looked very evil. Yos es shiva torta kad moyosa patimosa, the seven oxen, the first ones that were force fed. Rashi, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Next pasuk, pasuk chav al batavoyne el kirbena, and the oxen went inside. Velo noida kivo el kirbena. It wasn't even known. Umarein ra. And after they went inside, they looked the same. Ra kasher batchila voikotz, and I woke up. That's a very powerful word, to wake up. To wake up, I always like to tell you that when Hashem created Chava, it says that Hashem put Adam HaRishon to sleep. Vayapel Hashem lokem ala Adam tardema. He went into a deep sleep, and it never says anywhere in the whole Torah that Adam HaRishon woke up. He doesn't say he woke up. Hashem put him to sleep. And when he was sleeping, Hashem did this operation, this procedure where Hashem took out one of his ribs and made from that rib a woman, a wife. And it doesn't say he woke up. Life is just a bad dream. Okay, so, and don't tell me that, oh no, the Torah does not need to say that you woke up. Because look here, when Paro had a bad dream, it says that he woke up. Va'ikatz. So the Torah does go out of its way to mention the waking up. So why then does it say by Adam? Adam doesn't say he woke up. Let's see the Targum. That one here says, "V'chazeis v'chelmi asur ma'adrim v'hoshavat shub layo." I saw where we are. I skipped. What did I skip over here? Pasuk of Alf. V'atavari l'kibenev lo'yna kivo b'l'kibenev marim rak asher b'tchil v'yikatz. Targum. V'alo lim ehen. Amo means that they entered inside. It was not even known that these paros went inside. Bish, their appearance was bish, was ra, ka, just like bikad mesa, the it oris, and I woke up. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi on this pasuk, there is no Rashi, so we'll just go further. Pasuk chaf beis v'er b'chalim. Now we go to the second Rav Parana tells you, if I have a second dream. In my dream I saw there were seven stalks that ascended from the ground. The seven stalks came out bikone echad. Seven stalks coming from one corner. You know what this sounds like? The menorah. The menorah has seven branches. Seven branches extending from one corner. The center shaft is the kone emtsoi, the middle shaft, and from that center shaft comes forth seven branches. Okay, one goes straight up, and the other six to the sides. It almost sounds like a menorah. And what did I see in these seven branches? Meleos v'tevois, they were full with oil. V'tevois, and they were good. Let's see what it says in the Targum in this passage. Targum here says, V'chazeis b'chel mi'asur ma'ajim v'ho, sheva shublayo, there were seven stalks. Solkon ascending, b'kanyo, in a kone, chad, in one corner, molyon v'tovon, they were mole, they were filled, they were mole, and they were good. And there was no rash, so we'll go further. V'hinein, behold, sheva shibulim tsunumos, v'daka shudufos kodim tsunumos sachem. Behold, seven stalks that are tsunumos. Okay, so what does it mean tsunumos? Here we get into some very hard words. Tsunumos in the English, again, and Mr. Rapport, welcome. When we look at the English over here, remember this English here is not a proof to anything. I have no idea who wrote this in English, and some of the things that it says over here are very surprising, like all English translations. It's very bizarre where they get these things from. And you should know, I do the same thing once in a while. I don't know if they're going to ask me anymore to do it. I used to translate. I had a part-time job translating, or not really translating, more like I was supposed to translate, but I wasn't able to translate because it was too esoteric. So I would just basically summarize. So before I would summarize the idea, I had to quote the pasuk. So I just copy-pasted the pasuk. I usually took it from Sefaria. And then when I came to the English, I made major, major changes. And I didn't even look at the Mefarshim. I didn't even bother looking. I just changed it because that's not the point of the whole... The whole point is just to translate it in a very raw way. So the same way I know that when I translated it, it meant absolutely nothing. My translation was just science fiction. I don't have any faith in the translation over here, but it's a very good starting point. So here we have over here, there were seven stalks. They were tsunumois. Now, seven sprouted seven ears, shriveled. In the English translation here on this page, it's translated the word tsunumois, meaning it was shriveled. Dakois, thin. Kodim. Kodim means scorched by the east wind. Now, I don't know what in the world that means, scorched. I don't know. In my limited, extremely limited vocabulary, the word scorched usually refers to fire, heat. When you talk about kodim, is this a tsoymchais? Shidufais. Shidufais, it's 7 years shriveled. Okay, that is tsunumais. Dakois, thin. Now, here when it says shidufais kodim, this normally means beaten. It doesn't mean scorched. It means there is a wind that is an oppressive wind. It just bangs. The wind just comes against these stalks with a ferocity, and it bangs on them, and it causes them damage. Now, so I don't know where he gets this term that they were scorched, because scorched ordinarily means that there is heat. Is that what it means over here? Should do first cut in, there was heat? I don't know where he got that from. But right now, let's just learn that it was beaten by an oppressive wind. Tsoim chois means sprouting. And that's what it says there in the beginning of the translation. They sprouted acharehem after the seven stalks that were blessed. The seven good stalks. So let's see what it says in Rashi, Pasuk of Gimel. V'ho shiva shub layah. There were seven stalks. Notson. Okay, notson means, I guess in this case, means tsinumais. We have to come back to that. Now here, if you notice in this parish, they put the next two words in bold. Lokyon. The word lokyon. And shikifon. Shikifon. So lokyon is dakois. It appears that the word dakois is being translated by Onkelos with the word lokyon. They were smitten, like someone took a leather whip and beat them up. Then when it says shidufois kodim, it translated shikifon kodim, which means beaten. So it's similar to the word lokyon. Lokyon means they were smitten. Okay, we have to come back and analyze this in a little more detail in one moment. And then it says tsomchon, which means they were blossoming acharehem towards the good ones. Let's see Rashi. Rashi translates tsunumois. Go back to the first word. There were seven stalks. Tsunumois. Tsunumois means, we had the English means shriveled, and we had a very funny Italian word. Tsinuma b'lashon arami sela. The word tsinuma in Aramaic means a rock, which means harei hin ke'etz b'li lichluach. They had no moisture. The koshois kasela. These stalks were hard like a rock. So when it says over here in this word over there was shriveled, thin, I don't know why they said the word shriveled. Over here he seems to say that the word tsunumos means they were rock hard. It doesn't say that they were shriveled. Does it mean that when the only way to make them rock hard is for them to shrivel? Maybe yeah, maybe not. But that's not the focus. The focus over here is they were hard like a rock. There was no moisture, lachluchas, in these stalks. B'loshen tsunum, b'loshen rami, sabharia, ke'int, ke'etz, b'li, lachluch, v'kosha, v'koshas, kesela. V'targumoy, notson. Okay, so now he translates from the Targum. The Targum over here says, not son. The Targumai not son, Lokion not son. What does mean the word not son? Ein mechem ela hanetz. Okay, so the word not son is nun tzadi. Nun tzadi is the netz. Lefi shenis roiknu min hazera. The seed has been emptied out. Okay, so we have over here a lot of words over here which need explanation over here. So there he's telling us who the word Natsan means, Nates. Okay, and Vitargumo Natsan Lokyan. Okay, let's go back to the Targum, trying to figure out what's going on over here. If we go back to the Targum, he says, V'choshva Shubalaya, there were seven stalks that were Natsan. Sheva Shibolim Shubalaya, Tsinumais. And Targum says it means the word not son. So, I don't know, it seems that there's a disagreement between the Targum and Rashi. Targum and Rashi is coming in fact to explain the Targum. Targum seems to translate the word dakois, shubalaya tsinumois, according to the Targum, it means they were not son. What does not son mean? They only had the nates, which means, I think the nates means the very, very top portion of the stalk. The stalk on the very, very top has what looks like a flower. It has some type of, I'm not even exactly sure what I'm talking about, but the kernel of wheat on the very, very top has some type of distinct shape. That's the only thing that was left. Everything else was the seed portion of this nates. It disappeared. It fell away. It doesn't exist. Now that's how he translates the words tsinumos according to Rashi. Rashi disagrees. He understands the word tsinumos means that this stalk was rock hard. It was hard like a rock. Then when it says lokyon, what does that mean? Not that's going on the word. That's when the word dakois. Dak means it was smitten. And then it says shidufois could have beaten by an eastern wind. Beaten by an eastern wind. Shikifon kidum. Tsamchan blossoming after the other stalks. So go back to Rashi. Now okay, sunbois, sunba baloshna misela. Harehin keitz beli lichluch vekoshos kesela. Vitargumoi. However, the Targum disagrees. The Targum holds on, it says the words tsinumois, notson lokion, notson ein bohem elenates, lefish nisreiknum and azer. Why does he say over here the word lokion? Why did Rashi quote the word lokion? L'chor, the word dakois is going on the next word. I do not know. This is very obviously a very hard pasuk. Get a little bit of a taste of the machlokes Rashi and Ungulus. And over here in Ma'atzori, let's take a little peek and see how he tries to explain what this means here. Okay, so Vayesha Parshas Miketz, Pasuk Chavbeis. Pasuk Chavbeis, it says, Pasuk Chav Gimel, not son. Kavanasa Ein Bohem Ela Neitz Lefisha Nisreik Numina Zera. Fine. Avol Horaman, Mr. Rapport over here is our Ramban expert. He explains it to mean that the word tsinumos means chosuch and v'chi soroin, lacking. Okay, what does it mean chosuch? Like chosachta, but here in my chumash it says with a sam, with a saf, not with a samach. All right, but v'chi soroin, it's all he really explains. Alright, so we don't really have much. We don't really have an explanation of what it means over here. Shidufois kodim. Shaduf means they were beaten by an east wind. The east wind is the most powerful wind. It's destructive. And when it blows very harsh and very sudden, and it can cause the stalk to be that can cause the stalk damage. Now let's go to Pasuk Chaf Dalid. Vativlano Hashibolim Hadakois. Suddenly the stalks that were dakois swallowed ace sheva hashibulim hatoivois. Notice here it does not say that they were briois. It just says the shibulim hatoivois. Voimar el hachar tumim. Now Paro injects, I said this, relayed this entire story to the Jew interpreters. But the Ein Magidli, I don't have a Magid, there's no one to explain to me what this all means. Now let's see the Targum of this Pasuk, Pasuk of Dalet. Pasuk says, Uvela'on Shulaya Lok Yosa. Okay, so this is very, very good, because the Targum now is consistent. The Targum translates the word Hadakois exactly the way he translated it above. Dakois means the Shibolim that are Dakois, that are Lok Yosa, Loku, they were smitten. Okay, and they were smitten. I always thought it means Dakois means the thin ones. When you ordinarily translate the word Dakois to mean the thin ones, it sounds like that's natural. That's just the way they grew. That's just the way they came out of the ground. They came out of the ground as sickly stalks of grain. But that's not what the Targum says. The Targum tells us that these stalks were smitten, which gives us the impression that when they came out of the ground, they were beautiful. They were healthy. They were the picture of health. Everything was fine and good. And then something went wrong. There was some type of battle, some type of war, which caused them to be smitten. So therefore, that's the impression you get, that's the impression, there's a change in Perush when you say the word Dakos means they were smitten. Okay, what happened? Yosh Shiva Shubla Yotovosa V'avaboris l'cha roshaya. I said to the Chartumim, the Chartumim are called the Cha roshaya. What does that mean? A cheresh. It comes to a cheresh, a craftsman. A craftsman, the people who tell you interpret dreams, they really, they're craftsmen. The less di mechaveli, there was no one that can explain it. That can mechave means dibur, chava. Adam's wife, chava, midloshim dibur. There was no one that can explain to me what is the understanding of this dream. Okay, that's why it's over here in the Targum. There is no Rashi. Now you go to Pasuk of Hey. Vayoy me yoysef el paroi. Chaloyim paroi echod hu. Eis asher holikim oyseh higid lefaroi. Yosef says that the dream of paroi is one. Now that's grammatically incorrect. There are two dreams. There are two separate dreams. So Yosef should say to paroi the chaloyimos of paroi are one. Why did Yosef say that the chaloyim of paroi is one? So what is going on over here? Let's see what it is over here in the Unkelus. V'amar Yosef l'Faro, chelm of Faro, the dream of Paro is chadu. Yos di Hashem osid l'mebad, what Hashem is planning to do, chavi, he has spoken l'Faro. Hashem has spoken to Paro through the dreams. Hashem, when Hashem spoke to Paro, notice, this is really what it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem criticized, when Miriam and Aaron, what did Hashem say? How dare you speak not nice, badly about my servant Moshe? When I speak to Moshe, I speak to him utmuna sashem yavet. I don't speak to him in chaloimos, and I don't speak to him in riddles, in mishalom. Notice here, Paro, Hashem over here spoke to Paro. Yosef says to Paro, Hashem is the Magid. Hashem is speaking to you. But the way in which Hashem is speaking to you has two chesroinos. Number one, it's in a dream. This is called a chaloim. Number two, Hashem spoke to Paro in a riddle. Hashem gave him a dream. It was, again, a dream and a riddle. When Hashem criticized Miriam and Aaron, how dare you speak badly about my servant Moshe? The pasuk goes on to say that when I speak to Moshe, I speak to him directly when he is awake, not when he's sleeping, not in a dream. And number two, v'loy b'chidois. The pasuk there says I don't speak to Moshe in chidois, in riddles, in mesholim. I don't speak to him in dreams. There are seven stalks that were withered and were ra, and they rose up, and they swallowed the seven shibolim that were toivois, the briois. These are riddles. When Hashem speaks to Paro, Hashem talks to Paro in riddles. When Hashem speaks to Paro in Chalomois, but when Hashem speaks to Yosef, and Hashem speaks to Moshe, it's Behakitz, when he's awake, and Hashem says directly what the message is, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Tzaves B'nei Yisrael V'yamarto Aleihem, explicitly what they are supposed to do without any riddles. Okay, this pasuk is really, it was worth it for me at least to come tonight to get that appreciation, because over here you actually see both of these things coming together, the riddle and the chaloim. That's exactly what Hashem said.
Rabbi, yeah. Remember, without the riddles and all that, if it had been very clear to Paro, he would never have needed Yosef. He wouldn't have needed them at all.
Okay, so fine. Harbe shluchim l'mokim. Harbe, so maybe Paro would need him to manage the country. Harbe, that's not the point. The point, it doesn't seem like that's what the ikuf. It's not Hashem only spoke to Paro in a dream in order that Yosef should be the one that will interpret the dream. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that's the point. If Hashem, if it's derech is to speak to people, to Avimelech, Hashem spoke to him directly. Hashem spoke to Avimelech directly. Hashem is Esha so ish kinavu. Hashem spoke to Lavan directly. Hashem spoke to the previous Paro by
speak to the Sarah Maskim and Sarah Eifers directly.
Okay, so exactly, they're not worthy. Obviously, these people that Hashem is not speaking to directly, they're not worthy. They're not worthy. We have to appreciate what it means that Hashem spoke to Avimelech, when Hashem spoke to Lavan. Now Hashem, that's a very powerful thing. Hashem spoke to them directly. V'loy b'chidois. Hashem spoke to them, it was a chaloim. It was a chaloim, but it wasn't b'chidois. Here, it was a chaloim, and it was b'chidois. That has to mean that the Paro of this generation was not deserving that Hashem should speak to him directly. Oh, how then will Yosef come to rule the country? No, Hashem has other ways. Hashem can make it work out. You know, they need a person for the job, has good organizational skills. They know as a fact it's going to be a family. They need the right person to lead the country. Hashem can get Yosef where he needs to be. But over here, it's interesting that Hashem does want to communicate with Paro, but the communication is on a very low level, only with Chidois and only when he's sleeping. And now we can get a very true appreciation of the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu, Utmunas Hashem Yabit. Loi behokitz. It says, I don't remember the exact words of the pasuk, but the pasuk makes it pretty clear that Hashem speaks to Moshe when Moshe is awake. And Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, not with riddles. Why is the pasuk going to tell us? Because the pasuk is indirectly telling us, contrast Moshe to Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. Okay, let's go further over here. What does it say in Rashi? Rashi says, there is no Rashi in this pasuk. Okay, so therefore he's I'm going to go, oh no, I'm sorry, there is Rashi. Is there Rashi? No, there is no Rashi. Now we go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is, now comes the interpretation. Sheva Poros HaTavos. The seven good years. The seven good paros. What do they represent? What are they symbolic of? They are Sheva Shanim Heina. They are 7 years. They are 7 years. The Sheva HaShibolim HaTavos and the seven good stalks. Sheva Shanim Heina. They are 7 years as well. So right away he talks about the good. He takes the good from dream number one and the good from dream number two, and he says the seven paras atavos and the seven years and the seven shibolim atavos are seven years. Let's see the tarot. Let's see ratargum. Sheva torto tovosa. Shvashnin inum. They are. Inum means they are 7 years. Ushvash shub laya tovosa. And the seven good stalks, Shiva, Shemin, Inun. Chelmo Chadhu is one dream. Okay, very straightforward. Rashi, Sheva Shonim. He says the word Sheva Shonim twice. Kulon Einon Ela Sheva. Do not make a mistake. I think they're going to be 14. Maybe you'll tell me the two dreams are two separate dreams. And in each dream, it represents a cycle. Seven good, seven bad, seven good, seven bad. And maybe when you put it together, it really means seven good. 14 years of good and 14 years of bad. How do you interpret the repetition of the two dreams? Does it mean 7-7 or does it mean 7-7-7-7? So Rashi says, well, that's exactly what he's coming to answer when he says this one dream. kulam einim ela sheva ve'asher nishnach alein pamayim. So why then was it if it's going to be only a grand total of seven? So why then was it necessary for Hashem to repeat the dream? As Yosef himself said, whenever Hashem repeats himself, it's trying to indicate that it's going to happen immediately. It's imminent. This is not something that's going to happen in 50 years from now, in 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now. Many of the prophecies that we have in Sifrei Nevi'im are prophecies, they're not imminent. Here he's telling us over here that this whole process is imminent. Period. Okay, next. Now, B'Shev, now we go to the third line. B'Shev, Asher Matovos, Nemar, it says, Higid Lifaro, Lifishahoya Samoch, B'Shev, Ashnei Ro'ov. When he goes on later in the Psukim to tell, to discuss the 7 years of famine, he does not use the word Higid. Okay, it's not imminent. Now this Rash that we have just read is a world of commentary on the Pesach Seder. The Pesach Seder, what do we do? We say we have Magid, Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid. What is Magid? Magid is to relate the story of the Exodus. Why is the relating of the story of Exodus called Magid? Why don't we call it, I don't know, you name it, you find another word. Why do we call it by the term of Magid? Rashi just taught us something amazing. Magid means it's samuch. It is imminent. It's not in the far distance. This is something which is hayoim. It's going to happen right now. When you tell over the story, of Yitzias Mitzrayim to your children, it has to be begeder, magid. It's immediate. Now you can look, either that means it just happened right, it happened yesterday. Chayiv adam laharoy sesatzmai, ki'ilu hu yotza mitzrayim. Or if you want to suggest that the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim is a blueprint for the Gula Ha'asidah, the coming of Mashiach, you have to have emunah that Mashiach is coming immediately, without delay, not in the far distance, in 30 years from now, in 100 years from now, 200 years from now. Magid means now. Hayoim. That's what this Rashi, that's the lesson, that's the Musa Hasan from this Rashi. At the end of the Rashi, when it comes to Sheva Asher Matoivah, he's the 7 good years, Nemar Higid Lefara, Lefisha Yosam, because it was imminent. Uveshev Ashnei Ro'av Nemar Hero Es Paro. Levi Shoyadav Muflog V'Rochoik. It's not happening so soon. That's why Noifel Boy L'Shoyn Mare. So we now have the answer to the question why it says Magid in the Haggadah and not another word. I know there are other answers. I know that in all of the children's papers, in their sheets in the notebook they learn in the yeshiva, they tell you other reasons why it says Magid. Have yet to hear this pshat. They're going to tell you Magid means story, like the Magid Pesach Kron, the Magid of America, Rav Shadron, he was the Magid of Yerushalayim. Okay, so they'll tell you all these nice veritlach, gematrius, and this and that. Look, it's all Chumash Rashi. And to every yesoid in life, b'li yoytze min haklal is Chumash Rashi. It's all
there. But you have a little bit of difference from the Haggadah. There the Rav, the bad part came first, and then the Gula came, which was afterwards. Here is Pumfaket. Here the good part.
No, you're getting too technical. Over here, there are two things. There's the good and the bad. The story there by this Pesach Seder, we're not focusing on the, we're not using word Magid for good, bad, the good is, we're focusing on the story. The whole story is one Magid. Don't look at the
But it begins with Chila Ayah.
Okay, that's another dimension. Fine, that's a dimension that Mitchila Maschil Bignus, or Messiah Beshvach, Mitchila Ovi Avodazor Hoya Avosenu, B'terach was not of the Zara, and then or we started with the Shibud. Enochinami, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. It's look at the whole story. You have a story, it's the whole story from beginning to end. When did this whole story, from the beginning of the Haggadah to the end of the Haggadah, Mitchila, Oiv, the Avodah Zorah, Hayavoseinu, until the very, very end, you make the Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. When did that story happen? Did that story happen 3,000 years ago, ancient history, or did it happen today? It's Samuch, not going on the good and the bad. In the context over here of this particular event of the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of prosperity, so when it comes to the 7 years of prosperity, he used the word higid. When it comes to the 7 years of famine, he used the word mareh. So we're going to separate, we're going to contrast the prosperity to the famine, one to the other. So it's appropriate to use the word magid because that's happening right away. Fine. All the word magid means is that in this context, this particular detail that we're focusing on, in contrast to another detail that we're ignoring, we're not focusing on, was imminent, and the other was not imminent. So therefore, it's appropriate to say Magid in this context. But when it comes to the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're not focusing on the good part, the bad part, the Avodah Zarah, the Gula. We're focusing on the story. The story which includes everything. When did the whole story happen? 3,000 years ago. That's not Magid. You can't go tell your children what happened 3,000 years ago. They'll laugh you out. 3,000 years ago, you weren't around 3,000 years ago. What are you talking about? The answer is no, I was. Chayiv Adam Lirois Esatzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yotza Mitzrayim. You have to relate the story from the good and the bad as if it happened today. Samuch. That's what I'm trying to say. Mr. Rappaport, are you satisfied with that answer?
Not really.
Okay. I accept. I accept.
Because first of all, it's very hard to tell your children Chayiv Adam Lirois Esatzmo.
That's what it says. Of course it's very hard. It's impossible. But that's what it says. And the Rambam goes even further. The Rambam Chayiv Adam Lirois Esatzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yotza. You have to demonstrate. It's not just enough.
They put the thing on the shoulder, but
you're right. It's not high. It's you're right. But that's what I'm quoting the words of the Gemara. Chayiv, a person has an obligation. Lirush.
Me, my satisfied. I said, you know, to me, the Agoda tells you how we suffered, how we did this. The bad parts came first. Yes, it's part of the story. The same thing with the story here.
No, but over here there are two expressions. It's breaking it up.
With Paro and Yosef.
That's what Rashi is coming to explain. There are two parts. We're contrasting the 7 years of plenty with the word higid versus the 7 years of famine with the words hera. Rashi has the question, why in this part does it say the word higid and in this part does it say the word hera? And Rashi answers, because the good stuff is coming immediately and the bad stuff is coming later on. So when something is immediate, it's current, then you use the word higit. I'm just trying to extrapolate that when it comes to the Pesach Seder, Chazal instruct us, tell your children the entire story from beginning to end, with all the good and the bad, everything together, tell them the whole story as if it happened today. So now we can appreciate the age-old question, why is the giving over of the story described with the word Haggadah, v'hi gadata levincha b'yoyim ahu lemar. Why that word? There are other words in the dictionary that are equivalent to the word higadata. Why did it select that word? So I'm trying to suggest, based upon this Rashi, it's coming to bring out a flavor, is that you have to psych yourself up. You have to work on yourself to actually feel as if you yourself are not in the tribe. I know it's very hard. It's impossible for most people. But we're discussing over here what it says you're really supposed to do. Okay, we have to go further. Let's proceed. Mayor Appeldorf has now decided he wants to show us his Hadras Panim. Let's now go further.
What does he want to show us? What does he show?
His Hadras Panim. He only shows us the forehead, where the Chochmah is. He doesn't want to show us.
There you go.
Okay, he's grooming his beard, you know. Doesn't he look like Santa Claus, Mayor? Okay. You know Google Lens. You know what Google Lens is? It's spooky. You take a picture of anything and they find you all over the internet exactly that thing. So you can take people and you take a picture of a person and put it in the Google Lens and it shows you who looks like that person. And it's frightening what they come up with. Okay, let's go further. Let's proceed. Hu adavar asher, and here we go. Hu adavar, next pasuk chav tes. Hine, behold, sheva shanim bois. 7 years are on the way. That's a very interesting expression. 7 years are bois, are coming, as if time travels. What do you say? 7 years are coming. It means you are traveling towards you. When you look at time, when you look at time, how do you view time? Do you view that we travel through time? Or do you view that we are stationary and time travels through us? How do you view time? Ask Albert Einstein. Ask Albert Einstein. Do you go through time or does time go through you? You have to understand time. I was by the Agudah convention, so it was one of the Rosh Hashivas there, so I don't know what he said. I don't have everything he said. He says that when the Chofetz Chaim, he made a contrast between Albert Einstein and the Chofetz Chaim. And he said that the Chofetz Chaim, when he was a young boy, there was a person that was trying to persuade him to go off the derech, to devote his koichos, his brilliance, to other things. And there was a water carrier, a water carrier that saw what was going on, and told the Chofetz Chaim as a little boy, stay away from this guy. He's going to destroy you. Don't talk to him. He's going to ruin your life. And he listened. Albert Einstein, we know as a fact that when he was about 12 years old, he was Shomer Shabbos. His parents weren't religious. His parents, I don't think they were too religious, but they had a background of being Shomer Shabbos. And when he was about 12 years old, he learned all about Yadus, Judaism, and he became Mamish Shomer Shabbos. Can you believe that? He was Mamish Shomer Shabbos with an intensity, and I don't know, someone persuaded him. Who did he say persuaded him? A person told him, what do you need this for? What do you need this religion for? And he convinced him to abandon Orthodoxy. He was only religious like for a year or two, the most, and someone convinced him. So this Rosh Yeshiva, I don't remember who it was, he says, look at this. Who was that water carrier that convinced him? We don't know. No one knows. Who was the person that convinced Albert Einstein to abandon Yiddishkeit? We don't know. We have no one in the world. In Shemayim, they know. And can you imagine that we don't know the details. You know, who says, you know, and really made a difference. But let's say it didn't make a difference. Can you imagine the reward of that water carrier that protected the Chofetz Chaim? Don't go follow this Meshuggah around who's going to destroy you. And do we know the punishment of the person who took Albert Einstein? So we want to say, can you imagine if he had remained religious? He said that everyone started laughing. We would have had today Chidushe Rebbe Albert Al Hashas. We would have had Chidushe Rebbe. The theory of relativity? Okay, I once read this incredible article. If he would not have discovered it, someone else would have discovered it. It was on the verge of being discovered by a lot of people, the theory of relativity, and all the chachma that he brought into this world. No one's denying the fact that he gets credit for it. But Hashem would provide us with the chachma that we need. But in the process, look who we lost. We lost a person that Klal Yisrael could have been nene from enormously. A mind like that, what he could have done for Klal Yisrael, Chidush Rabbi Albert. Now, how do we get into this over here? I don't remember, but now we have the Sheva Shanim Hadvayish Sava Gadol. There's going to be a Savi. Behold, 7 years. That's how we got into time. That's how we got in both. Okay, so he would be able to tell us this concept. He would be qualified to explain to us what I just this dilemma I'm presenting to you. What does it mean 7 years are Ba'os? The Pasuk seems to say that we are stationary and time passes through us. Is that the way we look at it? We don't look at it like that. The average person looks at time as we travel through time. Time is stationary. Time is linear. There's the past, the present, the future. And we, as we live, we move through time. So look at this pasuk. This pasuk is an eye-opener. It says, Hine, behold, Sheva Shonim Ba'os. 7 years are coming. You sit here, don't move. Time is passing through you. Now, isn't the question, what happens if a tree crashes in the forest and there's no living creature within its vicinity? Did the tree make a sound? When the tree crashes, did the tree make a sound? Is it the pshat, sound, there are sound waves, and you do not need someone to hear, or is hearing defined by a listener? What was the status of time before the creation of man? The Bereishis world came from Israel. So on the Friday, Vayivoker, Yom Echad, that's time. But there's no person. All Hashem did on day one was Hashem made Vayom Elokim Yihiar, Vayihiar. There's no time. How do you define time? Do you need a human being, to be in existence to define time? Do you need the person to travel through time to create time? Or no, time exists by itself. If you're present, it'll just pass you over. And if you're not present, so it'll anyway pass over. How do you define time? Do you need a person to be in existence for time to be defined? Well, the first day of creation, there were no people. And not only were there no people, there were no malachim. There was nothing. The malachim were created on day two. Are malachim subject to time? I don't know, but this pasuk is still a very fascinating eye-opener of time. Over here, he says to Paro, you sit where you are, you're frozen, 7 years are going to approach you, pass over you. Hine, sheva shonim ba'ois, savo godol, a very great satisfaction. Satiety, how do you say the word in English? Satiety? You're going to be sated. You're going to be satisfied. Sava, satisfaction. Godol, b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. What does it say over here in the Targum? Ha, sheva shnin osyon. 7 years osyon are coming. Siv'a, okay, there's a question. What is the correct gears with the samach or with a sin? Rabba, b'chol arod Mitzrayim. In the land of Egypt. What does Rashi say? No Rashi, how do you like that? All right, we have to stop over here. It's 8 o'clock, 8:01. Rabbi Isai, thank you so much for coming. Ablaza, Mr. Rapport, Heshi, and Mayor, thank you for coming. Have a wonderful night. A Freilich and Chanukah.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night,
everybody. Thank you. A
Freilich and Chanukah.
When do you give out the Hanukkah geld? Tomorrow?
Day 5. You give out Hanukkah geld on day 5. Because day 5 is the only
Thursday night that
doesn't come out on Shabbos. Because if you give out on any other day, then the next year will come out on Shabbos. And the kid, you'll say, where's the money? The kids will say, where's the money? Shabbos, I can't give you.
What Kedusha is there in the Hanukkah light itself?
In the
If I walk by and I see a Hanukkah light and I blow it out.
Yeah, nothing. There's no Kiddush. After half an hour is over, there's no Kiddush.
So I can blow it out?
Yes, you can blow it out.
How do I know if it's a half an hour or not?
You make an assumption. You make an evaluation if it's a half an hour.
Not my menorah. I walk by.
If you feel it's a danger, so you should blow it out.
No, I see the lights on. I blow it out.
You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. You know that also. You're not supposed to do that.
I'm not.
Forget. As long as the candles are lit, as long as the candles are lit, they're still holy.
You walk in the house, the Shabbos candles, you blow them out. What have you done?
A malacha, you haven't done anything. That's the truth. It's not a malacha deraisa. If you blow out Shabbos candles, it's not a malacha deraisa. Blowing out Shabbos is not a malacha deraisa. Let me do Rabbanan. Because the only...
No, forget. You're still before Shabbos. So the person who lit the candles...
He's Yoytze. Of course he's Yoytze. He's Yoytze, yes. He's Yoytze, definitely.
Okay, so if you walk by and you see a Hanukkah menorah, you blow it out, why are you different than the wind? The wind ruach...
Because the person... Al pi halacha, you're not different. But al pi derech eretz, the person who lit the candles is going to be very upset.
Okay, I hear you, but I want to know if there's a problem with doing
it. I believe I don't know the answer. I believe you're not. I have to go check chapter and verse for you. But I believe you're not supposed to do it.
If it's after half an hour,
yeah.
Even the guy who lit it can blow it out.
That's correct. But yet. Every second that he doesn't blow it out.
But after half an hour, go ahead into the Babiv and blow out the Rebbe's Menorah and I'll kill you.
Exactly. That's right. I would do the same thing. Right. I would do the same thing. Chaim Lid, we light there every day. So we put in enough oil. Even during the day. You don't make a bracha in the morning. We light candles shacharis. Put in enough oil when we start shacharis. It should go until minute. It should go all the way until 5 o'clock. Why? It's a waste of oil. It costs $50, the oil.
It's oil. Nice. They like it. It's nice.
Right, exactly. That's
I walk out of a room, I close the light.
Okay, but once it goes out, you can't light it again. There's no...
Why not?
It has no Kedusha anymore.
Okay, you can light it without a bracha.
Yeah, but it would appear, maybe, I don't know if I'm saying what's correct, is that as long as the candles remain lit from the bracha, that or has some sanctity. What is the sanctity? I don't know what it is. I don't know. But those lights that you're seeing were lit with a bracha. So whatever that means, it means. I don't know how this works. So by you blowing it out now and then relighting it later on because you want to feel good, you want to be in the spirit of Hanukkah, very nice, you're in the spirit of Hanukkah, but you're lacking a degree of Kedusha. How do you define that degree of Kedusha? I don't know, but you can't deny the fact that the original candles were lit with a bracha, and these candles are not lit with a bracha.
Shabbos candles were lit with a bracha.
Shabbos candles the same. Shabbos the same thing. Shabbos candles also the same thing. They're also Kodesh. That's right. They're also Kodesh, Shabbos candles. And those are even better because those candles you're allowed to use. You're supposed to use them. You're supposed to do our benefit.
I know it shouldn't be done, but I want to know the halacha.
One thing that you'll love very much, and that is in shul. There's a very big machlokes. In shul, you light the lighting candles in shul is not like the lighting candles at home. It's very common in a shul. You light the candles right before Ma'ariv, and they dive in Ma'ariv, zip it up, 1, 2, 3. How long does Ma'ariv take? 10 minutes. Okay, the Shamus wants to go home. How long have the candles in shul been lit for? 12 minutes? 13 minutes? 20 minutes? And by the way, when they lit the candles, it's not yet say Sakai Chavim. So the Shamish, so a real Frumi will say, hey, you can't blow out the candles. The candles, they made a bracha. The candles have to remain lit a half an hour after.
The bracha is a minag, not a...
Oh, but candles. So what? So that's the very big dilemma. When you make a bracha on the candles, the candles in shul, this is a common shal, every shul has a shal. You make a bracha right before Ma'ariv. When they make the bracha, it's at most sunset. Or maybe it's 10 minutes after sunset. Okay, it's 10 minutes after sunset. They make the bracha. So that's not called Tzei Sacham. Tzei Sacham, we hold, should be 40 minutes, 35 minutes. And you want the candles to be lit for an additional half an hour after sunset. So you light the candles before Mincha. Before Ma'ariv, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and then you finish Ma'ariv, and now everyone leaves, and you want the shamish wants to go home. Lakam, you don't want to leave the candles lit. The sakana, you don't want to leave the candles lit, so he wants to go home. Wait a minute, the candles were not even lit for a half an hour. Forget about a half an hour after Tzeis HaKochavim. They weren't even lit for a half an hour. Are you allowed to blow out the candles?
So you know, you say there's a big machlokes.
So the halacha is the best, and you're allowed to blow it out.
You're allowed.
You're allowed to, even less than a half an hour.
Okay, I agree. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Even less than a chiddush, even less than a half an hour, you can blow it out. It's a tremendous chiddush. It's a different, right. A different lighting.
Right.
It's a different lighting. All right.
Okay.
Have a good night. Zayin bezant.